reflect on Proverbs. As you know, the book of Proverbs is a very interesting book. It has a lot of practical tips, advice, and the overarching theme of that is how do we live rightly, living rightly. This week, the past week was quite an interesting week for me because I had a chance to involve in a video documentary about a particular professor, Andrew Walls, and I joined a documentary guy. And the whole week, it was really interesting because it gave me a chance to, you know, think about this person. He was very instrumental in, well, he was the founder of the center where we do PhD right now, where Alex, myself, Noam, all of the people that you know are associated with. And it was really interesting to reflect on his life and the clarity that he had in his life, a life of selfless giving, a life that was that constantly thought about others and constantly thought about championing others, a life of giving, a life of blessing to so many. And so this video project, very interestingly, it brought together all these testimonials from all across the world, like from Singapore, way back in the East, all the way to the US, Africa, all these continents, people who have been blessed by his life, a life that was marked by clarity, hard work, self-giving. He was a sickly person, but he gave all his energy and efforts. And I thought it was I was so refreshed just reflecting on his life, because it's a life that's not lived for greed, for self-indulgence, a life that was so contradictory to the popular narrative of the world, right? I mean, when we live immersed in our world, it's about ambition and climbing and making the most of the opportunities. And it was so nice to reflect for the 3-4 days on this person who seemed to contradict that kind of narrative. And I thought that's a nice way to for me to think about the text that we're looking at today as well. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 23, a bit of chapter 25 as well. And you might know that Proverbs is a book full of practical wisdom, a book full of practical tips. A lot of them are reminders, like for example, to be not greedy. That's in a way common knowledge, but these are such refreshing reminders for us as well. And my hope is that as we read this text together, you might find it refreshing. Speaking of which, if you look at the title, Self-Control Against Greed and Indulgence, how does that make you feel? For me, when I was thinking about it, that's a bit too much. Like, it's because it's like the norm. We live in an age of indulgence, right? We live in an age of maximizing and growth and all of that. And the norm, the value of our world seems to be very contradictory to what we are told here. But I can't not put it like this, because this is how the book of Proverbs put it as well. If you have gone through the book of Proverbs, you will know that there's a lot of verses that talk about speak against greediness, speak against self-indulgence. So let's dwell on that today. This is really small. But you can follow along in your Bibles too. But we'll not read the whole chapter, but a few verses that specifically deals with the topic self-control and greed and all of that. Verse 1. When you sit to dine with a ruler, note well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten, and will have wasted your compliments. Like I said, really interesting verses, practical wisdom. And I don't know about you, but when I read verse 4 and verse 5, it's so refreshing. I mean, this is so contradictory to what we celebrate in our world, in popular culture. And here specifically, the writer says, do not spend your life working for riches. Do not have greed for riches. And he goes on to say that riches and wealth are like, they'll sprout wings and they'll fly away like the eagle. I mean, how true is that? Just this week, the Indian election, the results of the Indian elections were declared. And one of the things that happened was a surprise result. And because of that, the Indian stock exchange, which was apparently at a record high since 2020, that's 4 years, it completely plummeted. And it went down to an all-time low because of the election result. Just highlighting how in a turn of events, in one day, wealth can be lost. Apparently, the cumulative loss was amounted to billions of rupees for normal people who invested. Of course, that speaks to how volatile, how transitory things wealth is and riches are. And it's truly like what Proverbs says. They're like the eagle. Eagle is used as a metaphor here, probably because eagle is really strong. They can fly. There's not like sparrow where you might hope to swat at it and kill it. Eagle, it flies away high to the mountains where there's no hope of recovery. And that is the image that we have of wealth and riches. We've got a good number of youngish people here, and I think this is a verse worth dwelling on. Like in a world where hustle culture and all getting rich, getting wealthy, that's the norm, that's the value. It's worth remembering the wisdom that's given here. Do not spend your life running after riches because they are transitory. Of course, he goes on to say, do not be envious. I think that's to be found in verse 17 and 18. He says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Envy, right? Envy comes when we desire for things that we don't have, or desire for things that is not ours. Simple words, but so much wisdom here. Do not envy for what we don't have, especially for what sinners have, because that's not where our hope is supposed to be based on. I think these few verses from verse 19 onwards is quite, I think this is worth dwelling on a bit. Verse 19, he says, listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink? Obviously here, the issue is indulgence and drunkenness. Here, in a very pictorial form, we are told, we are given the warning against drunkenness, against of wine, and also meat, very interestingly, in verse 20. That's a picture of self-indulgence, right? A picture of lack of control, lack of moderation in life. And I think we all know this from our own experiences. Lack of moderation is unhealthy. That's why sometimes these things are called substance abuse, because we have an unhealthy relationship with the things, the substance, whether it's wine or food or entertainment, whatever it is, we can have an unhealthy relation with things and substance. Anything that's unhealthy, anything that's beyond moderation is unhealthy. And here we are given a beautiful picture of what happens when we are greedy and indulge in that. In verse 32, we are told that when we allow indulgences, when we allow greediness to come in, it numbs us. And I think especially 34, 35, I never really meditated on these verses properly, but this time I realized that this is a picture of addiction in some sense, where people people turn to, say, wine or even substances to numb the struggles that they have, to numb the beating that they feel, so that they don't feel the beating, so that they don't feel the pain. And every time they wake up, it's not just another opportunity to get more drunk and more, you know, forget the pain and forget the struggles that they go through. So here as well, we see that it's not just unhealthy relationship with substance. It's also an unhealthy relationship with the self, where to have an excesses in life can be a way of, an unhealthy relationship with the self. We're not able to deal with the struggles or the things that we are confronting. So all of this is fairly understandable. If we keep going to verse 25, another chapter, we encounter not wine, not meat, but honey. And he says this: if you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you and they will hate you. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to search out matters that are too deep. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Okay, wine, understandable. Meat, understandable. What's wrong with honey? Honey is generally portrayed in a good light in the Bible. For example, wisdom is often portrayed as sweet like honey. So honey is a good thing, and yet we are told here that too much of honey can be bad. What's wrong with visiting your neighbors? What's wrong with wanting a bit of friendship and hang out? And yet we are told that if you frequent the neighbor too much, you'll be misunderstood, to put it lightly. I think what we are told here is that even good things can be, we can be indulgent, we can be greedy about even good things. We can be self-serving with even good things. And I think we have to remember that these verses are given by a father, a loving father, to the child, to protect the child. And so there's a lot of realistic kind of practical proverbs. For example, if you go back to the first verses that we read here, when you go and eat with a ruler, don't eat too much. I remember what my mom used to say, like, when you go to a guest house, you go to your friend's house, you eat, don't eat too much. You don't want to give wrong vibes, and you don't want to feel like, or maybe the mother is not feeding them, or, you know, those kinds of... So don't eat too much. And I remember that narrative. But here we're told that when you go to a ruler's house and eat, don't eat too much, because the ruler may have an agenda, and you may be trapping yourself by being vulnerable and by being, you know, full-out embracing that when the other person has an agenda. In other words, these are very realistic, very pragmatic advice that the father is giving to the child. And he goes on to say, when you eat with, in verse 6, when you eat with a miserly friend, control what you're eating, because there can be bitterness. These are very practical, very pragmatic kind of advice that the father is giving. So in other words, what we see here is that even good things can become reasons for one's greediness or one's self-indulgence. Quite a poignant picture here in verse 28. Somebody who lacks self-control is like a city whose walls are broken, who can inviting attacks from others. In other words, these verses are given so that the child or we can live rightly in this world. So even good things like honey can be reasons for indulgence and can be reasons for greed. Honey is good. Friendship is good. Neighborhood, to be a neighbor is good. Wealth is good, right? Wine is good in itself. They're all good, but we can be too greedy about them. The point here, simple point, is that don't hoard just because they are good. Don't hoard. Don't take for yourself. Don't grab everything for ourselves just because they are good. But I think it goes a bit more than just don't hoard, don't grab everything for yourself. I think there's something about desire and something about hope as well. And I hope that I can make this clear as I explain this. I think what the father is advising the child here is that he's telling in a pragmatic way, child, don't be surprised when your needs and your desires are not met by others. When you put your hopes on some things or some people, don't be surprised when they are not reciprocated, when they are not honored. Attention. The person who seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, verse 17 says, the person goes to neighbor's house for friendship, for attention, and for companionship. But sometimes that may not be reciprocated. Sometimes we pour ourselves out for in front of others to be loved, to be cared for, to be a friend. But sometimes that's not honored. Sometimes we don't receive what we wanted. We don't receive what we hope for. Sometimes in that case, we become a city without hill, without a wall. We are unguarded. We are not alert. As I mentioned before, sometimes when we are indulgent, when we have excesses in our life, sometimes it is to mask our own emptiness. I don't know about you, but I know from my experience, when I find myself binging too much on YouTube, on Netflix, it's usually because there's some struggles that I have. There's some issues that I'm trying to forget by drowning in that in that drunkenness, if you like. So we go to wealth, we go to riches, we go even to work, and we go to people for companionship, to give us hope, to give us what it promises to give you. But oftentimes it's because we believe in the what we might call the false promise that these things will give us fulfillment. So we lean on the good things because we hope that they will give us the fulfillment and the meaning, but it doesn't happen. There are a few chapters, a few sections in the book of Proverbs where the father advises the son, the child, to avoid going to the prostitutes. And you may be aware of that in some chapters. And I think the main key there is he's advising his child to not go to the wrong place for intimacy, to not go to the wrong place for companionship. He's advising the child to not believe in the false promises that these quick fixes will fix the problem that you have, that these things that are excesses will give us happiness. In other words, the father is advising the child, be careful, go to the right places for the needs that you have. Go to the right places. The book of Proverbs tells that it's only God who can give us what we deeply desire in life. And I think that's why in verse 23, verse 17, it says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. It's only God and His will that is worth accessing about. I mean, being not greedy, but desiring for completely with all our heart. Only God can give us. We may lean on riches to give us security. We may lean on what others have, ambitions and envy, thinking that those things will give us self-worth. We may lean on wine, meat, and all these things to give us satisfaction. We may lean on wine and all of this to help us to forget the pain. But the truth is that these things cannot do all of that. Only God can satisfy, only God can fulfill the longings of our heart. So even good things, we can be greedy about good things. So the father advises the child to have self-control, to place our faith and our hope on the right places. Psalm 20 puts it in another way. It says, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. And I think that's what the father is advising the child as well. Trust, put your hopes in the right places, not in these things, not in wine or food or entertainment or all of these, but put your hope in the right place. So self-control is a posture towards ourselves, to treat ourselves with tenderness, to be gentle to ourselves, but also with firmness, so that we will not put our hopes on the wrong things and see the eagle fly away, so to say, put our hopes on wealth and all of that. There's also another thing that I need to flag up. Self-control is not just a posture about ourselves. It's also a posture towards others. It's not just healthy relationship with ourselves and with stuff. It's also about healthy relationship with others. And what I mean by this, we all have responsibility to one another. We have responsibility to family, to friends, to the community, in our work. If all of our focus is to grab for myself, if all of the focus is determined by greed, that will strip us of our capacity to love. That will strip us of the capacity to be a friend to somebody. And so to have self-control against greed and against indulgence is also to care for others. And I think this is where my mind was making the connection about what I was hearing about Andrew Wells, Professor Andrew Wells. To live a life not just about grabbing the best for myself and thinking only about my own needs, but to live a life of in a sense a life of self-control that is geared towards serving others. So when we live rightly in this sense, a life of self-control, we have a community, or we have people around us who have self-control for the sake of others, for the sake of one another, for friendship, for fellowship, right, for family, for compassion, and for care. Having said all of this, and I just want to conclude with a prayer that I hope we can all make. Having said all of this, it's not easy to be self-controlled. And we all, and I know this very well, it's not easy to be self-controlled. It's because the default seems to be greed. The default seems to be self-sustenance and taking care of myself. We have a tendency, as the author of Proverbs, the wise sayings of the proverb tell us, we have a tendency to turn even good things into idols. We have a tendency to turn even good things into something that's about me and self-centered lifestyle. So it's not easy to be self-controlled, but the good news is that the Spirit of God gives us new hearts and new desires. The Spirit of God who lives in us, we are, as the Bible says, we are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. We have a new heart that God gives us and God strengthens in us so that we may desire for what is right. We may stop desiring greed and indulgences, but we may desire what is true and what is good for ourselves and for others. And when we follow Jesus in trying to be like him in this sense, we also learn how to have a self-controlled heart, a servant heart in our own lives too. So with that in mind, why don't we make this our prayer together? I want us to read this prayer together. And if you are hearing all this and you don't know how to go about praying about this, this is probably a good way to start praying and aligning your hearts together. So why don't we just say this as our prayer together? Lord, give us the Spirit who does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. Help us to build a strong foundation on you so that we may be free to live in freedom, to love, and to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.